Very good! Ed Berry on the buzzer! What an
Making big shots.
Davis to reply. Yes, he hits a three! 3 3-pointers in quick succession at either end of the floor. The Rocks have it now.
Durham brings it cross mid-court. He's getting harassed by Evans. They still have fouls to give Cheshire. Here's Sloan to the basket. Out to Oymaz. Sloan in the corner for the win. Oh! Can you believe it? David Sloan wins it on the buzzer. And the Caledonian Gladiators go wild.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gladcast Basketball Podcast, a podcast all about the Caledonia Gladiators. We have got a Europe Cup preview with Josh Bett. Josh Bett, welcome to the show. So Josh, you are obviously one of the British Basketball League commentators this season. You've also been a FIBA commentator since 2016, commented on some of the biggest events from BCL, World Cups, what a junior national and international level. What else have I missed out?
Eurobasket, you know, you can't get that one.
Need to get Eurobaskets in. Eurobaskets in as well. So, and not only that, you are a European basketball expert. Josh, you are going to help us go through the Caledonia Gladiators opponents for the FIBA Europe Cup. So, let's go.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you so much for that introduction. That's very kind of you. Yeah, let's break this down. This is a lot of fun. Before we break down opponent by opponent, we need to lay down what should be the overall expectations for the Gladiators coming into this FIBA. First of all, I think it's great that they're in this tournament. I think this is a level that, you know, many BBL teams should aspire to go to. It was unfortunate that they obviously couldn't qualify for the Basketball Champions League. I mean, you know, here's what people need to remember is that, yeah, they probably, you know, they probably should have beaten Fribourg, but, you know, that was a game that they unfortunately just couldn't win. I'm just looking at their game. Had they beat Fribourg, they would have played Legia Warszawa, who are one of the top teams in Poland. And had they won that, they would have played against Obradoiro, who are another good team from the Spanish ACB. And had they won that, they would have gone up against SIG Strasbourg 7 times in the Basketball Champions League. So the Champions League is a very, very tough level to get at. I didn't expect them necessarily to get far. I did expect them to beat Fribourg, but so is life. And now they're in the FIBA Europe Cup. So FIBA Europe Cup is a very interesting competition. It was actually created in 2015-16, the year before the Basketball Champions League. And, you know, it's a competition that FIBA's put out that, like the BCL, it works with domestic leagues. You know, the overall mission is for the FIBA Europe Cup is to play in this competition, you need to be good in your domestic league. And that goes with how you finish in the league, how you do in the playoffs, how you do with some certain domestic cups, like in the case of Gladiators when they won with that the buzzer beater. You know, shout out to Dan Routledge. That is one of the greatest calls of all time. So, you know, Caledonia they've earned their right to be at this level. That's one thing. When we look at this draw, Grant, I got to tell you, and I think you and I both alluded to this earlier, it's probably the most unlucky draw for the Caledonia Gladiators because the fact is the level of opponents they're up against are just very good. They're playing against a team from the ACB. They're playing a team from the PLK, which is the top level of basketball in Poland. And they're playing against a top team from Romania. So I'm going to probably go down with toughest team, in my opinion, to team I think they may have a chance to beat. So let's start with the team from the ACB, Cerna Bilbao, who last season, were in the Basketball Champions League. I don't know how to put this any other way. You just got to compare competition of how teams play against Caledonia Gladiators, British Basketball League. When you play in the British Basketball League, you know, your highest level competition is always going to be London Lions. After that, you're probably looking at Leicester Riders, maybe Sheffield Sharks. Cerna Bilbao, their top level of competition is Barcelona, Real Madrid, Baskonia, Valencia, and those are your EuroLeague teams. They did recently just beat one of the top Basketball Champions League teams, you know, another team from the ACB that plays in the BCL, and that was UCAM Murcia. They're currently sitting fifth, sixth place with a record of 4-1. The only team that they've lost to was Baskonia this season in the ACB. So that just goes to show that the level they'll be up against. But we haven't even talked about who Bilbao have. So when you look at this team,
we need to do that because when any time I've gone looking into this, it's not just the top level talent, it's the depth of talent. You don't get to be what top five in the ACB with just nobody on their roster. So yeah, who should we be looking out for?
I wouldn't know who to start with right now. I mean, first of all, you've got an experienced guard by the name of Adam Smith, who played for Hapoel Hulon in 2022 and was one of their key backcourt players that helped them get to the Final Four of the Basketball Champions League. Adam Smith is terrifying. You're talking about a point guard that, number one, can create his own shot, can shoot from the perimeter, and is one hell of a defender. So he's going to be a backcourt nightmare for the Gladiators to deal with. You've also got to look out for the likes of the big Swedish international, Denzel Andersson, and not to mention the young and upcoming Estonian international, Christian Kulamaye, who did feature for Estonia in numerous FIBA, World Cup, and Eurobasket qualifiers. You got experienced national team player who also played for Hereda San Pablo Burgos, Xavi Rabaseda. But the other one you got to deal with is the veteran years. So the two veteran players you're going to have to look out for are Alex Renfro, 37 years of age. But again, he's a player that knows what it takes to win championships. He won the FIBA Basketball Champions League in 2020. He's got EuroLeague, EuroCup experience. You also have the bigs. You have Hlynason, who's 7'1", the big Icelandic international. But you also have GB international, Sasha Kalea-Jones. The final big you want to look out for is a three-point shooting big from Greece, Yorgos Tsampouris. I mean, Tsampouris stands at 7'1". He is predominantly a pick-and-pop shooter from the perimeter. That's the depth of the team you're dealing with right there. So I could break it down player by player, but I think that's a game that Caledonia need to look at to go in and say, okay, we're just going to go in this with no fear whatsoever. We need to learn from this as best we can and take it back and take what we learned back in the British Basketball League.
And I suppose then the name that kind of jumps off the page for any kind of listener to this normally is obviously what you said about the GB international, Sasha. Tell people probably, we've never obviously seen him in this country play. He's played in some top divisions across Europe. Describe his game.
It's very strange because I've only seen Sasha Kalea-Jones briefly with the national team. And, you know, it's very difficult when you come into a window with a national team because your role with the national team isn't always going to be what it is at club level. So I am like you. I'm very interested. But, you know, from what I've been told, he is fitting into the system very well with Bilbao this season in the ACB. He's played four games. I mean, he's putting up some good numbers at the moment. He's playing roughly under 20 minutes. He's putting up between 13 and 15 points. I mean, he's big, he's physical, he's tough. He's going to be probably a player that Farrow's going to have to really tighten up with. Farrow's probably going to have the knit and grit and the girt to kind of really muscle him around. But Sasha's very agile. You know, he's very mobile. He's mobile, he's agile. You know, and you watch him play, he can be a little bit hostile too in his game because he's just such a tough player. So he's a player to look out for. Again, Grant, I could go player by player, but I'm trying to be as diplomatic when I say this. I think Caledonia's expectations coming into this game is to gain experience from playing a team like this. I mean, it'd be obviously these are professional players. Players like Patrick Whelan will want to go into this game and say play to win, but realistically, this is going to be one of the toughest opponents they're going to play against.
Yeah, and you just again, just what we say, any team that's competing against some of the top EuroLeague teams in Barcelona, Real Madrid, there's different levels to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right, who do we go look at next?
Well, I want to see if you know how to pronounce the Polish team's name.
As in the team's name? Okay.
Yes.
Let's see. In my best Scottish accent, Anvil Lokavec.
Hold up. Are you recording this? Can we record the audio so we can put this on Twitter as well?
Yeah, this is recording.
No, but the video as well. Can we record this on video too?
Why?
I want to do it right now. Hold on. Give me a second. Give me a second. Because I want to send this, please, because I want to tag all my Polish friends in this to get their response. Hold on, hold on. Let me get my QuickTime player so I can record the video. No, hold on, hold on. I'll do it on my phone. Hold on.
No, this was good as bullying.
They'll love this. They'll love this, right? Okay, hold up. All right. So to all my Polish friends in the world of Polish basketball, I'm doing a podcast with one of my good friends who's one of the greatest basketball fans, Caledonia Gladiators. But he's going to say the name of this Polish basketball team. Go ahead.
I feel like I need a disclaimer here. In my best Glasgow action, Anvil Lukovic.
Anvil Vlasovic. Close.
I wasn't far away.
Just a few dodgy pronunciations. Yeah. Okay. So the W in Polish sounds like a V, and when you see an L, it sounds like a W. So it's Anvil Wacławek.
Every day is an education with you, Josh Bett.
That is it. No, but imagine having to say that name, commentator. It's very tough. But no, going to Anvil Wacławek, again, another team that is top of a very good domestic league. They're top of the Polish league. Naturally, they are usually one of the top teams that always compete for championships. They didn't make it to the Basketball Champions League this year. Looking at their team, again, there are a lot of players that I'm quite unfamiliar with. I mean, I don't know too much about Luke Petrasek. I've not seen a lot of him play. The only player that I'm very familiar with is one of their veteran players is Kamil Wachinski, who did play for Poland at the 2019 FIBA World Cup. Jakub Garbacz is a very good player. He's one of their top scorers. Again, you know, is this a game that I think is completely one-sided? No, but you have to understand that Anvil Wrocław, there's a lot of history and culture and tradition with this team, and there's a lot of expectations for them to do well. I mean, this is a team that naturally, their expectation should be to qualify for the Basketball Champions League, because that is...
Josh, they're also defending champions. Let's not forget this.
Yeah, no, I get that, but they're not in the Basketball Champions League. That's the ultimate thing. You've got other Polish teams that competed for that level. There is expectations for this team to be at that level. So to be in the FIBA Europe Cup, the expectations will also be very high for them to go to at least finish top, maybe second, but they'll obviously battle that out with Bilbao. I'm unfamiliar with this roster. I'm obviously familiar with the past rosters when they played in the BCL, but like I said, you can see by the stats don't lie. After four games, they're already top of the Polish league. I would honestly say Gladiators will struggle on the road for sure. Gladiators will need to obviously will have to have a very good game at home to be competitive with this team.
Yeah, just looking at this, some of their stats, they've got one of their guys, Victor Sanders, averaging over 52% from three.
Yep.
To start the Polish league season. Someone else at 56%. Clearly a team full of good shooters. They've got guys averaging over, they've got two or three, or three guys averaging over 15 points a game.
Yep.
Yeah. Tough.
I mean, they're good. And the Polish league is a very, very good standard. Aaron Bess has gone to the Polish league this year. I mean, there's good money in that league. There's good teams. So it will be, like I said, it will be a game I'm almost certain on the road Gladiators won't win that game. But who's to say, you know, if they do their homework right, if they really try their best to scout this team and they come to the new arena, there's a good atmosphere at home, and it's one of those games where collectively the players have a good game, you know, maybe there's a chance they can compete. But again, it's a very, very tough opponent.
Yeah. And I suppose we keep touching on it is the difference of traveling to Europe, because all teams have really short turnarounds. Like when we're recording this Sunday night, the Gladiators played the Sheffield Sharks today. Traveling home tonight, and then no doubt flying out to Romania on Tuesday for a Wednesday game. There's not a lot of preparation time, but actually this is just the story of European basketball for all these teams. League game, then European game midweek.
And that's it. And that's why I'm so happy Gladiators are in Europe this year, because, you know, from you think about, I think the last team to play in a European competition was prior to the London Lions was Leicester Riders. That was 2018-19. It was this competition, FIBA Europe Cup. Prior to that, I think it was almost more than 10 years ago, it was the Guildford Heat in 2007-08. So we've lost a decade of professional teams in the British Basketball League having that ultimate experience of a domestic game on the weekend, and then a continental game midweek. You know, and it's like our players, we have some players that play that level. Okay, the Lions are used to that. But if you're not used to that pad, if you're not used to that routine, you know, it's going to be very hard to jump in. And teams like Cerna Bilbao, well, they've been doing it for the last five seasons. Teams like Anvil Vratislava, they've been doing it just as long. So, you know, if you have a core of players that you recruit that are used to that style, it's going to be a very, very tough for a team that's not used to that.
Yeah. Definitely. And I suppose this is where you look at, and we'll come back around to the Gladiators roster at the end and talk about guys that have got that kind of bit of experience. So, yep. Josh, tell us about probably what we're saying on paper is probably of the three is the easiest matchup. However, doesn't mean it's an easy game in Cebu.
Cebu is a very interesting one because, again, it's, you know, I looked at their roster this week. I'm not very, very familiar with this team. I haven't, the only Romanian teams I've ever done commentary for is Oradea, who's also in, because you have to remember the Romanian league is split into two conferences, right? Or two groups, as they call it. And, you know, Sibiu, it's only been three games. It's still early days. They're top of their group. Oradea is one I did back in 2016 when they were in the BCL. And Cluj-Napoca are currently a EuroCup team, but they were in the BCL back in 2022. I've spoken to a lot of guys that have played in Romania. From what I've been told, Romanian basketball, in terms of the standards of the professional league and what clubs are able to sort of offer to their players, is a level that the British Basketball League needs to catch up with very quickly. So you think about this, a team that's hosting Caledonia Gladiators this, I mean, that's the first game this week, I believe. That's a game I would naturally expect Sibiu to probably take a victory with. But it's a game also that I'd expect Caledonia to keep it relatively competitive. I don't think there's miles difference between the rosters. I have looked at the rosters. There's not a million miles difference. I think it's a game that Caledonia can look at, you know, reflect on. And then when they meet in Scotland, that's a game that would be a really good test. Because I think ultimately, if Caledonia could sneak a victory, maybe two victories in this group stage, I think that would be a massive, massive achievement for this season in the group of the FIBA Europe Cup.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I suppose you look at the Romanian league, and obviously this team play out in Transylvania, very much a strong Eastern European impact to the roster. And then you've got experienced guys in Pratt, who's 38 years old, an Australian guy who's 29. They've got a really experienced roster.
Yeah, I mean, they've only got, was it, three players in double digits? Yeah. Pratt, as you mentioned, I mean, I think, am I correct? He's their top scorer, isn't he?
But I think so.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's like, I had this conversation with Patrick Richard. So Jordan Taylor, Lions, actually played in Romania prior to coming to Lions. And Cluj-Napoca are a team that, I think they're probably the team with the biggest budget within Romania. But ultimately, what I've noticed is, a lot of these players, and if you look at Monier Pratt's career, he spent a lot of his career in Romania. I mean, he started playing in France. I think he may have played abroad a few other places, but I think the comfort level that he's had playing in Romania, he's really enjoyed. So when you have an American that's established himself at a team for so long, like Patrick Richard at Cluj-Napoca, it's really good for the foundations for your team to be successful. Because, you know, a lot of times you do see Americans jump around from team to team. But if Americans who are good players, or non-local players that are good, that are staying for a long time, I think it does show a very, very good morale amongst them. Look, they're top of their conference in the Romanian League. They're hosting their opening game. I would honestly expect them to probably win this game. I think it would be close. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but it's got to be a game Caledonia learn a few things. Because as we know, when they go against Bilbao, that's going to be hell for them. When they go against Anvil Wrocław, especially on the road, that atmosphere in Poland is going to be very, very intimidating. They're not going to play in front of it. That will probably be the toughest atmosphere for them to play. So definitely this opponent has got to be something Gareth and his players study very closely when they go to Romania this week.
Yeah, so let's have a look at this Gladiator roster. You've obviously, have you commentated on us this year? You've not yet, have you?
No, I don't believe so. No, I don't think I did either last year. I think because last year when I was supposed to do Gladiators, I was either in Japan, France, or my short little, remember the trip I told you I went to Scotland last year? Yeah, I think that was the time I was in Scotland and miscommentating a team from Scotland. It was brilliant. It wasn't brilliant. But no, it's I've never commentated Gladiators, never.
Nah. So I know you've watched a wee bit, you touched on like Farrell's experience in Europe, but who else do you think stands out to being suited to the kind of Euro game?
Patrick Whelan, that's an easy answer. I mean, Patrick Whelan for me is a European caliber shooting guard. You know, you and I have talked about this a lot. Patrick Whelan went and played for my dad's team in the CBL. My dad's obviously the assistant coach for the Niagara River Lions, for those who may not know. I mean, I've probably shouted it a million times. But speaking with Pops every day this summer, the one thing he would always say to me is that Patrick Whelan is just such a good shooter. And it's his ability to get open, lose defenders when he doesn't have the ball. But he's also a phenomenal defender for that matter as well. And speaking with the head coach of the Niagara River Lions, one thing they really appreciate about Patrick Whelan is that he's always looking to evolve his game. So I'm glad he's playing in Caledonia. I'm glad he's playing in the British Basketball League. But having spoke with a few sort of agents and coaches within European circuits, a lot of players, a lot of people that really value this man's game. So I think ultimately it's great he's playing for Caledonia, but I think he's going to really have to – this is a great opportunity for him to really, you know, show how good he is and kind of, you know, really lead this team when they go into Europe. It's tough because I'm looking elsewhere at this team. I mean – It's very tough because what I don't want to do is throw any players under the bus. I think ultimately this is a team that's been put together. You know, there is some talent in this team, but I think ultimately it's going to have to be a very collective effort because you think about it, where are the points going to really come from? You know, there's veteran players in this team, there's young players in this team. I think ultimately where Gladiators may struggle in Europe is in the backcourt, a point guard. I don't think they really naturally have that point guard that's going to be able to compete against an Adam Smith at Bilbao. You know, I don't think they're going to really have a point guard that's going to be able to deal with the intense pressure when you go on the road to Anvil or Suave. But, you know, it's not to say that over the season players can't improve, but I think ultimately you're going to have to see this team learn very quickly what it's like to play at this level.
Yeah, I suppose you've got, it looks like Ian DeBos has been the kind of starting point guard who had an excellent season in Denmark, but he's never played in any kind of European club competition. This is his first chance at it. Milivojević has maybe played a little bit ABA in Serbia. Kyle Johnson's not really played across. He's played obviously internationally for GB. Patrick Whelan's the same. You're then looking at probably the guy with the most experience in European competitions is then Lukas Pleša, who's obviously been a mainstay of Czech basketball for over 10 years. And you think, okay, he's coming over with new opportunities, new challenge, loads of BCL experience, but he's probably the guy who's, I think he's what, 33, 34. You're going to need him to come in and hit a lot of shots and especially three balls to keep them in games.
So going back to Mihailo Jovicic, were you aware that he played for Real Madrid's youth academy?
Yeah.
So he also played for their second team, which it was only for a season he left after that. I always find that the British Basketball League is put a triangle, for example. You've got G League, you've got European basketball, and then you've got British basketball. We are somewhere within the middle of those two where we don't quite have the exact identity of those two styles of play. And I think domestically, players know what it's like to play in the British Basketball League. You can pick any British player. They'll understand the expectations and the pace of the game and sometimes the wild, wild west structure. When you're in the G League, it's ultimately you're such an individually talented player that you're not quite good enough to be in the NBA. But then when you go to Europe, it's such a systemic game. You know, it's so meticulous and fastidious that, you know, you are basically – you are suspended to your role for what you're hired to do. Whereas when you're playing the British Basketball League, okay, you may be a point guard, but you may also be expected to at times deliver as a shooting guard at times. You may be asked to deliver at times in a certain small ball scenario to go to the three. I mean, it's such a wild, wild west league. But with Jovicic, I just kind of get the feeling that, you know, he was in the Serbian second league last year, with all due respect, but maybe this is the kind of style he needs in Europe that he's more familiar with. So when I say they need a point guard, maybe this is something we'll see him develop further because I think ultimately he does need a bit more time to kind of settle into the British Basketball League. I think there's talent there, but the transition period, he just needs a bit more patience, I think.
Yeah, and I think with Mihailo, he's coming off. I can't remember what he missed. The reason he played the second division last year, Josh, was the year before he had a life-threatening illness.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
So last season was like, you know what, I'm going to stay close at home. And he was their best player in that league, obviously being Division 2 in Serbia, is way below Serbia 1, ABA, European competition, yeah. But it's the upside, I suppose, of being in Real Madrid's academy. And like today, I think against Sheffield, he was, I think, as our second top scorer, 16 points, probably his best display in the British Basketball League. So he's beginning to, I think, familiarise himself with the style. Because as you say, what did you describe it as? Not Wacky Races, but the Wild West of British basketball. A lot of guys who come from probably structured offenses and defenses do take time to adjust after struggling. So he's one I've kind of got high hopes heading into this that we see another side of him.
You know what? It's Caledonia. The thing with me is this can't just be the one and done season in Europe. You know, ultimately, like, you know, I'm behind this team. Seeing a British basketball league team, especially a team from Scotland, you know, my grandmother, I've told this to you many times, my grandmother was Scottish. You know, there's Scott blood in me, proud Rangers family, you know, shout out, of course. But the thing is, seeing a Scottish team in Europe for me is like, it's great. It's fantastic. You know, I really high hopefuls. You know, and, you know, if it's my fear is, like with the Leicester Riders, when they went into the FIBA Europe Cup and then they didn't go back the year afterwards, you know, it needs to be a consistency. And the model I can take from this is look at the GB national team. Great Britain, you know, when they played in the FIBA World Cup qualifiers in 2017 and 18, they didn't necessarily get blown out every game, but they didn't qualify. They only won one game out of six, right? And then when they went to the FIBA Eurobasket qualifiers, that Wild Wild West factor style, where players are playing all over the world. We got players in Europe. We got players in some players back domestically. We got players in Japan. But coming together, a group of guys that knew each other. And, you know, we did the double on Germany. Germany, okay, had a very sophisticated team. We beat France once. Okay, we'd already qualified by then. But it was a real big victory against Montenegro. And I think the more you see teams play intercontinentally together, the more they gel together. But, you know, it might be a case at some point this time in the FIBA Europe Cup that Gareth might realize, okay, this is the level we're at, to maybe go a step higher. Maybe, I'm just saying maybe, we might need something else, someone else to come in. But that's obviously for the Timonies and obviously Gareth and the GM to decide. Another thing I would probably say is that, you know, Gareth, I think, is going to be a very, very good coach. You know, I think, honestly, I really appreciated his role as a player. A lot of people that have worked with him when he was a player talked about, you know, that they thought he was going to be a good coach the way, you know, he used to conduct himself when playing for GB. But, you know, he's got to learn a lot from this experience. And if I was Gareth, my idea would be, you know, really make yourself familiar with people within the European basketball circuit, because this is a great journey for him. I think the best way he can start to develop is talk with more coaches, find out more, start to, not negotiate, but to either go to more clinics, you know, in place with coaches from higher leagues, because ultimately, you know, we want British coaches to keep improving. And he is a part of that pedigree that I want to see improve as much as possible.
Yeah, brilliant. I suppose the next best thing is we're basically hoping that the Gladiators will come out of this with one or two wins. And it's one of those ones of talking about building for the future. And that's, I suppose, something the club's talked a lot about. We've obviously got a new facility. You've got another one on the kind of periphery view. And then you're just hoping that, yeah, this isn't just a one-time thing. It doesn't seem that's what they're setting them up to do. A few of the guys, people like Farrow are on Pat Whelan are on multi-year deals.
And that's good as well. But going back to what you just said there, I mean, a lot of people will probably, and naturally, I totally understand this, probably a lot of people will listen to what, you know, I've just said and thought like, well, that's negative. You're just thinking that they're going to go into this and lose. And to be honest, it's just a very honest assumption of what I'm assuming. Yeah, hopefully I'm wrong. But ultimately, it's got to be anytime you go into a new domain, you know, we saw this with Lions when they went into the FIBA Europe Cup and they went to Europe Cup. You know, you've always got to learn step by step, and a whole season needs to be one step. So if there's expectations that, oh, they've lost to Bilbao by between 10 and 20, this is not good enough. It's like, well, what do you expect? A team that regularly plays against Real Madrid and Barcelona, of course, they're going to have an advantage against a team in the British Basketball League. That's naturally where we're at right now. But, you know, if there's positives that we can take from this, if there's things we can learn from it, that's got to be the ultimate goal. And you're right, it's building for the future. Look, I really like what Timony's doing with the Caledonia Gladiators. I almost called them Scottish Rocks there for a minute. But, you know, it has
to be. It's not been Scottish Rocks for a long time.
I'm sorry, I was there, and you know, I've got something over you. I know that you're a diehard, you know, Glasgow Rocks, Caledonia Gladiators, but I was at Edinburgh Rocks' first ever game in the British Basketball League, 1998 versus London Towers. I was mopping the floor.
Best place for you, Josh.
And Towers won, just to rub it in your... No, that was great, that was, but...
That's a long time ago. I suppose my first game was Rocks versus Sheffield Sharks at the Brayhead Arena.
2002 or?
2002.
Was that 2002-2003 when you won the playoff championship?
It was indeed.
What was the arena, the big arena you played in? Was that the one you just mentioned?
Brayhead, yeah, yeah.
Because I went there with Thames Valley when Dad was the assistant there and we lost. And Ted Berry had like 40 points. And then 2 weeks later, they went again, they won, and I didn't get to go. And I was annoyed about that. Phil Perrier played in that team, didn't he?
Huh?
Phil Perrier played in that team, didn't he?
Yeah, Phil Perry was in that team. Sean Perry, Myers, yeah. Billy Singleton, Ryan Huntley.
Oh.
Stefan Sheckles.
The following year when you had... who was the best scorer that you bought from Sheffield the following year, 2003?
Yeah, Williams.
Yes. The coach that year was Nick Nurse's assistant at Brighton. What was his name?
Swanson.
And then he ends up being my university lecturer at Worcester. And then I remember him walking in one day and everyone was like, who's this American? I said, excuse me, sir. Did you used to coach the team Edinburgh Rocks? He's like, I did. And that was the only conversation we had outside of me to him being my lecturer.
Brilliant. All right, Josh, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Great rundown and preview of what we should expect from this European journey. Shout out to the team and hopefully good luck in them. Good luck also to the women's team. They start their journey as well this Wednesday at home to Benfica after, unfortunately, their game was postponed this week. So, Josh, yeah, man, thanks for doing this.
And for those listening, Grant and me are actually very good friends. We do speak every other day because he's now a member of the Below the Rim family. I am still a member of the Below the Rim family. I just don't always have time to go on. And for the viewers listening, yes, the best thing was my lovely, beautiful wife from Vietnam when she first met Grant at the O2. I quizzed my wife. I said, honey, listen to Grant's accent. Where do you think he's from? Grant said a few words and Mrs. Bett said, oh, is he from Wolverhampton? Grant, thank you so much, man. I'll see you soon.